This is the CRA Podcast, a podcast committed to highlighting the great work across the nation in transforming communities through the power of economic development and the Community Reinvestment Act. And now, here's your host and CRA enthusiast, Linda Lewis-Izuka.
Welcome to the CRA Podcast. Today we have a special episode where I will introduce you to Find CRA and First Western Trust. As you know, I created the CRA Podcast to elevate conversations around community development and the CRA. Today we will explore a dynamic partnership and a tool to aid in community development impact. First, I'll introduce you to Find CRA. Find CRA is a national software as a service and CRA consulting company supporting banks and nonprofit in the smallest communities to the largest cities. They're dedicated to developing technology to modernize CRA. They have created intuitive and powerful research tools, converting countless of hours of manual research into instant results. Next, I'll introduce you to First Western Trust. First Western Trust is a depository financial institution with locations in Colorado, Arizona, Wyoming, and California. They are regulated by the FDIC and considered an intermediate small bank under the Community Reinvestment Act. First Western Trust offers private banking, commercial banking, planning trust, and investment managers services. I will start with introductions of the leadership from these two fine institutions. First, you'll hear from Ben Lowley, the CEO and co-founder of Find CRA. Next, you'll hear from Brian Waters, the president and co-founder of Find CRA, followed by Ted Gerbick, director of marketing and philanthropic giving of First Western Trust, and then Emily Gardner, senior CRA analyst for First Western Trust. So now it's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy the CRA podcast. Okay, Ben, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your position with Find CRA?
Sure. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Find CRA, based here in Louisville, Kentucky. It's where we started the company about 8 years ago, coming up on our 8th anniversary. I was born and raised here. I'm an old Kentucky boy.
Excellent. Okay, and Brian?
Hi, Brian Waters. I'm the president and co-founder of Find CRA, co-founded the company with Ben, came into the company from the banking industry, been a CRA officer, BSA officer, you know, that laundry list of things, and also based out of Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, and Ted.
My name is Ted Gerbick. I am the director of marketing and philanthropic giving here at First Western Trust Bank based out of Denver, Colorado.
Great. Okay, and Emily.
My name is Emily Gardner, and I'm a senior CRA analyst with First Western and have been with the company for just over 3 years now. Ted said we're based in Denver, Colorado, and I'm a Denver local as well.
Okay, well, I'm so excited that all of you are here with me today, and we get to share all the great work that you're doing in the community development space. So for those listeners that might be newer to Find CRA, can you share your initial vision for the company and how it has evolved over time into where it is today?
Sure. I'd be happy to. So Brian and I started Find CRA, like I said, 8 years ago, and we were working in compliance together at a bank headquartered here in Louisville. And, you know, we noticed that there was a lot of inefficiencies in CRA and just not a lot of great tools for bankers to use or nonprofits. A lot of just old school networking events were kind of where partnerships were formed. A lot of the same nonprofits tended to get support year after year. And, you know, we were just talking one day over some margaritas and, you know, the idea for Find CRA was born and Brian really had the initial light bulb moment. He's like, why isn't there an online platform for this, for bankers and nonprofits to connect? And we kind of just ran from there. We wanted to create an online platform that would be a go-to resource for bankers and nonprofits to connect and also do research. And that was the initial vision.
Great.
It's evolved a lot over that initial vision hasn't changed. The way that we go about doing that has evolved.
Sure.
We started with a project-based kind of matching, really lightweight platform. And we were kind of, going out into the community, finding nonprofits to list their projects on our platform. And then we were also kind of, you know, promoting the projects to bankers that we knew. And over the year, after a couple of years, we realized this is a lot of work. It's not adding that much value to the process because it's just getting like too into the weeds too quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, so we kind of took a step back. And in 2017, we relaunched the platform and took a more data-driven approach where we're going out, we're aggregating all the nonprofit data as well as data from other government and industry resources, bringing it all together, qualifying and curating that data to pinpoint the nonprofits that meet CRA requirements and building profiles for them that they can come out and claim, letting the connections kind of happen organically between the bankers and nonprofits and not really focusing on the matching deal level.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's so great that you're meeting some gaps in our market, in our CRA sector, because there's definitely, there's not a lot of tools. So you're filling a great gap. Mm-hmm. And I know that the bankers are really appreciative because they have another tool in their toolbox to really not only comply with CRA, but to get out and to do the good work with the nonprofits you mentioned mm-hmm. to effectuate
Absolutely.
Development. So wonderful and so happy to connect with you. Switching to the bankers then. I'm just so pleased, Ted and Emily, to learn more about First Western Trust recently. And I was so impressed with your commitment to the community development space. If I have this right, you've invested over $19 million in community development projects since you formed in 2004. That is really impressive and a strong start. Can you tell me more about your bank and a little bit more about your philosophy and around corporate volunteerism and your commitment to your local communities?
Yeah, absolutely. First, thanks so much for having us here today. That the number that you referenced is actually creeping closer and closer to 20 million now.
Wonderful.
An example of that is we have about 150,000 rather in CRA eligible donations just this year, year to date. So we're really excited about that. And we think that this work really reflects who we are as an organization and how committed we are to the communities that we serve. If I take a step back, First Western, our goal is to partner with our clients to help them lead their best lives. And we really look at the world client by client. We believe that each of our clients is really special and unique. They deserve a customized plan to help them reach their goals. As a banking institution, the way we're a little bit different from other banks in the market, we want to make sure each of our clients experience what makes us unique and special, and that we're local, that we're trusted, and that we're different. Local in the fact that we have local teams that really take the time to know our clients well. Trusted in that we're based on a fiduciary DNA. So that's part of who we are, and it's part of the trust that we bring to each relationship we have. And the expertise that we bring to the table, too, is often on par with and rivals some of the largest institutions in the nation. So anytime our clients experience that unique combination, they thank us for it and they know it's special compared to other banks they might be working with. Another piece that's really unique and special for us is we're equally committed on the philanthropic front in service to our communities. We're really proud of the fact, for example, that for the second year in a row, we were named as part of Colorado's Civic 50 for the work that we're doing in our communities. I guess another example of that would be we have a dedicated team here internally that we refer to as the First Western Connects Committee that is comprised of First Westerners. We don't have associates. We have First Westerners that work with us.
Right.
And their job is to get together and come up with interesting and unique ways for our associates, our First Westerners, to go out into the community and donate their time and their expertise where we all work and live.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's always a big part of who we are. If I take a step back from that and think about just how we approach philanthropic giving, we have three pillars that are really near and dear to our heart that help guide the donations and the sponsorships that we make in our communities. The first of those three is economic development through entrepreneurship. We know that small businesses and companies are part of what breathes life into communities and helps keep them strong and growing. So we want to make sure that we're really supporting that need. The second is arts programs in various forms. We look at that as, you know, the arts programs help inspire creativity and ideas and new ways of thinking even as it applies to what we're talking about today, right? Something is relatively simple, a CRA, right? Always requires just new ways of thinking about it. So we're always excited to sponsor programs like that. And the third is equity and equality, right? We really believe that all people deserve an equal shot, an equal seat at the table. So every time there's an opportunity for us to help make a difference on that front, we try to do that. When we bring all of those together, that's really the heart and soul of how we think about CRA as well.
That's great. What a perfect segue then to talk about your CRA program. Now, if I understand this correctly as well, you emerged from a small bank pretty quickly right into an intermediate smaller, an ISB, and you're regulated under the FDIC. So I know that can be quite a leap, right? Especially as you're managing the CRA program. Emily, can you tell us a little bit about your role at First Western Trust and really a quick snapshot, if you will, of your CRA program and its assessment areas?
Absolutely. Super excited to be here. In my role, I work closely with other members of our CRA committee, as well as our office presidents and support teams. And all of these teams are involved in helping us reach our CRA goals each year. When I started at First Western back in 2018, one of my first real areas of focus was to modernize and really develop our CRA program. We needed to develop an approach to ensure compliance with the CRA rules across our footprint, which is currently at 13 offices and growing. It has definitely been a challenge to build out our program, especially as you consider that while we've been cultivating our approach, we've transitioned, as you mentioned, into an ISB, taken First Western public, opened several new offices, and even acquired numerous locations from another bank, all within the span of 3 years.
Wow.
First Western serves Western-based wealth management clients, and our assessment area is across three states, Arizona, Colorado, and Wyoming, and we have our largest footprint here in Colorado.
Wow, you certainly have your hands full with the CRA program. Yeah, but it's great work, isn't it?
Definitely.
Okay, so switching back to Find CRA, Brian, it sounds like First Western really found you just at the right time in their growth pattern. So what pain points did you really solve for First Western in their CRA program?
We're so glad to have First Western as one of our clients. And First Western is in a position that a lot of banks are in. You know, banks have emerged and they continue to acquire and grow organically across their footprints. And with that growth, often what we see in the industry and as a company is there's not necessarily the same amount of growth within the CRA function in a bank. So while banks have this regulatory requirement to give back to their community, but more importantly, as Ted shared, banks want to give back to their community. They care about the communities they're in. They are philanthropic. They want to see their communities grow. And then you add on to that what's happening in 2020 with the community needs shifting, with there being real social ills, economic exclusion, and other problems in the communities that are being talked about. That's a lot for any one individual or any small department in a bank that often has other responsibilities, whether it's marketing or community development or lending or compliance, lumped into CRA. So how do they do more with the same amount of time? And that's where Find CRA comes into the mix. You know, we are a CRA first company. We started out as CRA off team members, compliance team members. So using what we learned, setting through exams, building our own subject matter expertise, and then talking now to thousands of bankers across the country about what are you dealing with and how can your job be more efficient? Because at the end of the day, the spirit of CRA is to give back and work in the community and provide fair and equal access to credit and other bank services. And so what we're able to do is support banks in those technical regulatory requirements, doing the research, compiling information about who they're supporting in a consistent way, informing them with the data and the tools and the information that their regulators expect them to see, whether it's performance context through our Contextor product with our market reports. But in more importantly, and I know First Western has had some success with this as well, is finding those relationships, those community partnerships in their assessment areas, in their branch markets, where they maybe have identified needs, but just don't have the time to get out there and build a relationship. And more importantly, you know, you're looking at a city like Denver, there's thousands of nonprofits registered with the IRS in Denver, and only a very small percentage of those are CRA qualified. So the best asset we bring to a bank is we give them more time to make a greater community impact and to help them direct their human capital, their giving, and their CRA requirements in an efficient, quick process using our online services.
So Emily, what led you to seek out a solution to help with your CRA research and your CRA program? And really, why was Find CRA your first choice, or how'd you find them?
Well, so one of our core values as First Westerners is to be problem solvers. When we see a problem, we see opportunity. Our team was really challenged to consistently find CRA eligible opportunities, specifically in what we call our resort markets, such as Aspen and Vail. Okay. We needed to find a really responsive solution to kind of help us diversify our CRA lending and locate opportunities, but we found that pretty tough. For example, markets like Jackson Hole have no low to moderate income census tracts whatsoever, which makes it really difficult to find these CRA relationships we're talking about. Right. So in my research to find a solution to kind of fit our needs, we came across Find CRA. And since they were helping solve for exactly what we needed, I dove in and wanted to find more out about them. We ultimately ended up choosing them because they offered, first off, a super simple interface that was really easy to use. The actual day that they demoed it to me, I got to take a look at the actual market report specific to Pitkin County, which is where our Aspen office resides, and getting to see how that community qualifier search function worked right off the bat eliminated any learning curve I may have had moving forward, which is awesome. Right. In addition to that, it was a super quick implementation time and the access to just the bulk of information, which seems to be kind of continuously growing, whether it comes to additional data points or just new organizations as a whole.
Yeah, I did a demo as well. And the moment I was able to look into one of my communities that I serve, I was amazed with all of the data that was right at my fingertips. So I was like, oh, I love this product. So such a good tool. Yeah. So Ben, really my vision for creating, I have a CRA membership where CRA practitioners can come in and learn and master the art of CRA and convene around community development aspects. So my true intent of convening CRA officers is really to, again, help them master the technical aspects of the CRA so that they can get out into community and forge community development relationships and impact. So can you tell me a little bit more about that community qualifier and the contextor, those software products that you offer to really support CRA professionals so that they can really understand their current footprint and then expand into new markets?
Sure. So we kind of, you know, building off of what you're doing at CRA Hub, our products kind of capitalize on that theme of mastering the technical aspects. Our products are built in a CRA framework. We've dove into the regulations and all the guidance, and all the data points are kind of carefully selected to build in the technical requirements of CRA. So, you know, there's other products on the market where you can go and get census data, or you can go and get nonprofit data, but none of those products are built within a CRA framework that kind of have the technical details built in. So, that's what we've created, and that's what our goal is, to just equip our bank clients with the tools they need to go out in the community as efficiently and with as much impact as possible.
So that's such a great tool. So Emily, before you found or you before Find CRA, how were you identifying and really qualifying nonprofits, and how is it really a different process for you now, given their services?
That's an amazing question, and there's probably 100 different ways that I could answer this one, but I can kind of paint a picture for you what it was like beforehand, and then I can circle back to how our approach has truly changed for the better. So prior to Find CRA, identifying nonprofits was a really manual means for me and super time consuming. Mm-hmm. Certain markets for us, like Denver, Phoenix, were pretty easy to source. However, Aspen, Vail, Jackson Hole, those resort markets, mm-hmm. Were particularly hard for us to find qualified organizations. If we struggle to source or qualify new nonprofits, it becomes really easy for us to fall back onto what we've done before, meaning those organizations that we've went to or donated to previously. Right. And while we absolutely want to continue to support those organizations and nurture those relationships, we absolutely know that we can do more. Also, examiners didn't really resonate with that. It doesn't really cater to the innovativeness or the responsiveness, which are those qualitative elements they're looking for during exams. So after implementing Find CRA, identification has become an absolute breeze. I'm able to conduct searches in the database for organizations that fall into either the county or the city that we're really looking to hone in on. From there, Find CRA separates it out categorically so we can handpick them from a specific kind of area we want to focus on. Then once we source the ones of interest, we can choose from a couple features for reaching out to them. So it's just made touching base so simple. But beyond identification, the real kicker for us has been how powerful our qualification approach has become. As we all know, there historically has been a lot of gray area. It's been as kind of touched on when it comes to CRA, especially yeah. qualification. There can really be difficulty finding certain quantitative support. And from my experience, it's involved a good amount of piecing together information from a lot of different sources. I was always reliant on examiner feedback and online due diligence to really understand exactly what info and, you know, what documents are needed to deem eligibility. And that felt like a really reactive approach versus a proactive one. And ultimately, there just had to be a better way.
Yeah.
Moving on to afterwards, Find CRA has just improved my confidence in the deliverables I'm able to provide, having that real concise package of different reports and metrics. That helps support how the organization aligns with CRA and the spirit of it is just a total game changer. Right. It's more factually accurate and it lines up with what we think the spirit of CRA is. Right. It's also really helped drive engagement and propel excitement in our organizational culture, which has been awesome to see. There's just this newfound sense of eagerness within the field to discuss their pipeline opportunities. And that brings empowerment to them, being able to hand select these organizations that align with them both personally and professionally.
Really great to hear.
Yeah. 26 years ago when I started, you know, we had AOL dial-up. So I understand the manual path that you may have had prior to Find CRA. So I really appreciate, you know, the software as a tool because it's a game changer, really, and just sets us all up for success. So Emily, as a follow-up then, tell us a little bit more about how you use Find CRA and how that's made a difference, actually, when you're out there supporting your community and really forging impact with your community development partners.
Definitely. This is a part of CRA that really means a lot to me personally, and I can kind of highlight why here. Yeah. So first off, philanthropy is just super important to us at First Western. Ted has mentioned this earlier, but we really do see philanthropy as more than just an obligation. It truly is who we are as First Westerners.
Nice.
With that in mind, Find CRA has just made a massive impact when it comes to supporting all of our communities, and particularly those in what we describe as the resort markets that I touched on a bit earlier. Mm-hmm. So a great example for us in 2020, we've seen two affordable housing facilities come to fruition that we both sourced and qualified through Find CRA. Participation from those two boutique offices yielded about a third of our CRA lending total for this 2020 year to a tune of about $20 million. And historically, we had done about $4 million combined in those markets. So that improvement just in itself is nearly fivefold, which is huge.
Wow.
For me, though, the absolute big win has been surrounding the spirit of CRA and how we've just really built excitement around it organization-wide. As First Westerners, we're always going to work hard to support our communities, but doing this in a way that now also aligns with the expectations of CRA, you know, had been a challenge for us. As we look to kind of serve our communities and diversify moving forward, it's FindCRA has allowed us to cultivate these long-lasting relationships with nonprofits and all of our different communities, especially those and ones that we hadn't been aware of beforehand. It's kind of like having just a local expert who knows people, which has absolutely come in handy for us.
It's so nice to meet a bank that gets it, right? That doesn't look at CRA as a regulatory burden, that they really embed it in their culture and it becomes what they're all about and part of their philanthropic approach as First Westerners. Anyway, I'm just so proud. That's so refreshing to hear and just such a wonderful concept that you've integrated into your culture. So switching now to regulatory reform, can you provide us FindCRA's thoughts on what's going on with CRA, modernization in the industry, and maybe how your services can help banks stay connected with community needs while all the regulatory change is swirling?
Yeah, it's definitely a very uncertain time. We've heard that a lot this year over the last few months. It seems like every commercial tells us that. But CRA is going through a pretty massive change, the first major revision since 1995. Which predates a lot of the CRA officers that are working in banks right now. So it's been interesting to see such a different approach to this, with the regulators kind of each forging their own paths and yet still talking about trying to come together for an interagency approach at some point. But for the first time since I've been doing CRA, we have a final rule from the OCC, a proposed list of questions from the Federal Reserve, and the FDIC kind of sitting on the bench right now because they're dealing with pandemic response first. So seeing where modernization is going so far, it seems to be addressing some of the criticisms that have been in place with the examination process, with some of the subjectivity there, with not knowing what qualifies and the list of examples, and more importantly, the ability to submit a request to the OCC is a nice advancement. I do think it's positive to see the regulators trying to accommodate for different business models, given that banking is not branch dependent any longer. So therefore CRA should not be assessed with a branch dependent mindset either. And what we do as a company, you know, we are monitoring all of the modernization proposals and the rules closely because they have the potential to impact our services as well. So in this interim period, we're kind of monitoring and taking a wait and see approach, but are already starting to talk about and looking at our tech roadmap to say what small enhancements can we put in now that will add value? I know, for example, we're looking at in the first quarter adding some additional activity tagging to allow people to search in some of those new CRA criteria that the OCC pushed out, adding an additional geography filter for organizations supporting Indian country under that technical definition, because those pieces of data, regardless of where modernization goes, they still have value to our users. We also offer a great free service called the CRA Monday Briefing that bankers can sign up
for. I love that, by the way. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, we're pulling in news from all of the agencies, 13 different industry resources, send it out every Monday morning so all of your news is in one place, as opposed to having to go out and reading a bunch of press releases. And then I encourage bankers as well to explore joining the CRA Hub. You know, that's a great opportunity that Lynda offers for people to come together, CRA officers, have their peer group, learn and explore CRA best practices with each other. You know, just like bankers support the community at the same time, we as CRA professionals are our own community, so we can support each other in our learning and community impact.
Yeah, we're all better together, that's for sure. It takes a village, right, to run a CRA program. So I think it's great that, you know, all of our CRA tools and service providers come together to add more value and just be arm in arm through it all, because it's a lot, you know, especially going forward with all of our regulatory changes. So thank you for that. So Ted, tell me what's on the horizon for your bank in the context of really fostering economic stabilization and recovery during these challenging COVID times.
Yeah, it certainly has been a different kind of year this year.
Yes.
Right? At the end of the day, our goal is to do our best to be the best private bank for the Western wealth management client, and to do that for generations to come. Right. When we think about the world that way, it's important not just to us, to our clients, to our fellow First Westerners in our community. Like, it's important to all of our stakeholders that we do our part to help support community.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, this has been a year unlike any other. At the beginning of the pandemic, we knew right away that we needed to be really thoughtful and we needed to be in tune with what our clients and our communities were looking for. We made a few changes and we've taken some pretty significant steps to do our part, and we're going to continue to do that. One of the first things that we did was take a look at all of the different donations and the sponsorships and the organizations that we work with, and we kind of doubled down on that. We let them know that our commitments we're going to hold true to. We're going to follow through on all the commitments we made to those organizations. And in a number of cases, we actually upped our participation or our sponsorship or our contribution to them, because we know this year especially, those are the places that really need the help.
Right.
You know, we talked about the philanthropic pillars that we have. An example of that are local artists. That is a community that desperately need to support this year to keep things going and to make sure that we come out the other side of the pandemic with a really vibrant arts community. So we did that across the board. The second thing that we did was, as Brian kind of talked about some of the changes on the regulatory front, through the pandemic, there were a few things that surfaced coming out of the SBA and other places. One of those being the Paycheck Protection Program. Mm-hmm. We jumped on that right away.
Yep.
And to help support actually making that happen, we reallocated some First Westerners to make sure that we knew how to do it and we were ready to go.
Nice.
And we're so excited and proud of the work that we've done there.
Yep.
To date, we've lent about $200 million to hundreds of small businesses and organizations that needed the help. Really proud of that, but maybe even more proud of the fact that we know that that translates into supporting about 15,000 local jobs through the pandemic.
Yep.
And that's super duper important to us. It means a lot. So
when
we can participate in that program, in the loan forgiveness programs and the mortgage forbearance programs, everything that's coming out, we know we're doing our part on that front.
Okay.
We also see that just in the way that we've connected to community is a little different. This past year, about half of the lending that we did that I just described actually came from brand new clients to our bank. And that came either through referrals from existing clients, or it came as a result of businesses in our communities that couldn't quite get the help they needed from other banks, and we were able to step in and help them out. So if I think of all of that stuff together, we know we're doing everything that we can, and we're actively watching as things develop. And if there's more opportunity for us to help out, we're going to try to do that too.
Right, right. And now you're set up to be able to deploy more special programs to the extent that there are more programs forthcoming to aid in recovery. So it was such great, important work for all of our banks to, we all had to redeploy assets, right? And to do all hands on deck to get to deploy those SBA PPP loans. So I'm just so proud of our industry for doing so. And it seems simple, but it's a lot of work, right? Especially as you're moving into forbearance and everything else. So congratulations. It was certainly a program, but very, very important. And to have the impact on jobs, that's so just so gratifying too, right? To know that you played a role
it
in your
definitely has been, it's been really hard work. Not going to sugarcoat that, but some of the most fulfilling work at the same time, because we know we're making it and having an impact.
Exactly. Okay. So I like to end my CRA podcast episodes on a light and reflective note. So I'll ask each one of you, what are you contemplating or really looking forward to in this shiny new year? Ben, why don't I have you go first?
Okay. I'll start. Probably like everyone else, I'm kind of very eagerly anticipating a vaccine being released to everyone and getting back to normal, or some version of normalcy, getting back in the office. I'm still working remotely. But, you know, on a more personal front, I just got married a couple months ago. And, you know, we're starting to save to buy for our first house. So kind of excited for that.
Absolutely. So, Brian?
I will echo what Ben said. I'm looking forward to getting back into the office. Our team has been remotely working since March the 15th or 19th or something like that.
And
it's going to be nice to be back in the office with everyone and solving some of these big CRA problems. And then personally, I'm looking forward to someday going back and seeing a movie in the theaters. You know, as convenient as it is to sit at home and watch everything on Netflix yeah. and the 15 other subscription services you have to have now, nothing is the same as going to a theater and seeing that movie you really want to see.
Exactly. And especially with those recliners where they're all fancy right. now, right?
Oh, yeah.
I miss it too. I do. So, Emily, how about you?
I'm just looking forward to a new year full of opportunities and challenges. We recently opened a couple offices in Broomfield and Rhino, so looking to see how they're going to contribute to our CRA success story is going to be cool. And then personally, just looking forward to getting back on the slopes to snowboard as we kind of ring in the new year. So
awesome.
Stoked for that.
Awesome. That's great. And you, Ted?
I'm kind of with Emily. I'm really excited about our growth story here at First Western and to be part of that. And on a personal level, as goofy as this may sound, there's to me, one of the things I miss the most is actually having dinner like inside of a restaurant rather than outside or at home. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
I know. Oh my goodness. Right. That's not geeky at all. That's wonderful. We're all right. looking forward to that. We've all had to adapt quite a bit, right? Yeah, wonderful. I'm actually looking forward to professional level, really trying to get some closure or some certainty around regulatory reform. I know that's a hope and a wish and a dream. And my true hope, wish, and dream is that there's some sort of interagency convergence again, because we have such great market uncertainty, and it just creates, it gets in the way of our community development impact. So I really hope that we can find a way to reconvene from a CRA perspective. At least I can hope, right? So there, I'll just leave that out for the universe.
Right there with you.
Okay, so let's end with one last question. So what is on your nightstand, or what are you reading that you find interesting and different lately? Ben, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, on my nightstand, I don't really have a whole lot other than a cup holder and my phone. But what I am reading right now is a book called The Body Keeps the Count. That's the name of it. Yeah. It's a psychiatrist, from Harvard University he interviewed thousands of patients, and he talked about insights into how your body, like how your psychology affects your physical health. So
great.
Excellent. I thought it was interesting, different.
Wonderful. It's always good to expand your palate beyond regs, right?
Yeah.
Very good, Brian.
It's actually called The Body Keeps the Score. Sorry.
Oh, The Body Keeps the
Score.
Not the
Count.
Awesome. We'll all
yeah.
look
it up. Yeah.
Oh, good.
It's a great one.
Good. Okay. How about you, Brian?
Well, I should be reading all of those regulatory proposals, but wow. I'd like to escape. So I'm currently reading a sci-fi novel called Artemis by Andy Weir. It's a book about the first colony on the moon and all of the technology around that, but also it's a fiction book. So there's a heist thriller type feel to it as well. So it's a nice escape.
Oh, that's wonderful to escape. That's excellent. Very good. And Emily.
So I'll mix it up here. I have a glass jar on my nightstand that has all of the tickets for Red Rock shows and kind of other miscellaneous events I've been to over the years, which is kind of a cool. nice little thing to add in and flashback, but a little tough to look at as well.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a day, Emily, right?
Day.
Yes. Very good. Good to see those memories there though. Yeah. And Ted?
Mine is a little odd, but what sits on our nightstand actually is a jar of treats for one of our puppies. We adopt rescue dogs, and we have one right now that will not go to sleep unless the very last thing of the day is a treat, and then she will just fall over and go to sleep.
Oh, that's funny. So she's trained you, I see.
Absolutely. So we all want to get some sleep. That is the very last thing that happens. That's what's on the nightstand.
Oh, what a nice way to end the day, I must say. Oh, that's awesome. But it's so nice to hear the escape and the memories. And anyway, it's been such a pleasure interviewing you all here today. I just love talking to like-minded people around community development. I think the work that you all do individually and collectively are so important to not only our economic recovery and stabilization, but just really thinking globally, but then acting locally is just so key to our community development work. And I'm just so proud of all of the work that each of you are doing. So thank you for the opportunity today to have you on the CRA podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
A pleasure, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the CRA Podcast with Linda Lewis-Izuka. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, cratoday.com. Don't forget to leave us a positive review on iTunes and be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. Join us next time for another edition of the CRA Podcast.